You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, what's up, folks? Your eyes are not deceiving you, or your ears, rather. This is an extra episode this week. I wanted to put this one out in the general feed. This is a formerly Patreon exclusive episode from several months ago that I recorded with my dudes Paul Roney and Danny Perez. Paul Roney, you might be familiar with from his other appearances on the podcast. Danny is a longtime listener and supporter of the show and local pal to both Paul and myself. So that's why he is on with us. Really great dude. And it was a fun conversation. So I've only done this a handful of times. Generally, the Patreon exclusive content stays behind the wall for the patrons because that is exactly what they signed up for. And, you know, I don't want to just give away all of that stuff for free when there are people paying for it. There's about 75 episodes or so that have never been made public. So I think that's the number. It's over 70. I'm not sure if we're quite at 75 yet. So if that is a thing that interests you, a bunch more audio content, you can go to patreon.com/tonemob. And for just $5 a month, you start getting additional bonus episodes right to your ears. And it literally helps keep food on the table around here and the lights on and the mic's hot and all that good stuff. So if you can support over there, I really, really appreciate it. It means the world. And a big thank you to everyone who currently is supporting over on Patreon. Big, big thank you to those folks. But anyway, I don't generally pull those episodes out for the general public. Occasionally I will if it was a particularly juicy or particularly informative or important chat that I have. So that will happen occasionally. But this time was especially important because one of the things you might know about Paul is that he was a luthier for a very long time. He built some of my favorite guitars. I have two of his builds, my Oceana and my Paramore. They're tremendous instruments, and every time I post them on Instagram or somewhere, people go bonkers for them. And he was just really, really good at what he did. And I say what he did because he is currently, at the moment, not building guitars anymore. And a lot of his followers and fans of his work want to know why. It seems kind of strange for somebody to just stop doing the thing that they're most well known for. But he goes into his reasons and, you know, I won't explain it for him. I'll let him explain it. But we talk about just general goofy stuff for a while, but Paul does get into the meat and potatoes of why he's not currently building. And I think it's best to hear that straight from the horse's mouth. So without further ado, here is the formerly exclusive Patreon episode with Danny Perez and Mr. Paul Roney. Oh yes, it's also probably worth noting, sorry, one more thing, that we don't talk about guitars all that much on this episode. So if you're looking for a very topical episode, I suggest you go back to, in case you missed it, the Multi-Scale Guitars Explained with Mr. Jason Rogers, who actually used to co-host with Paul on the Luthierist podcast. So it's all related. But yes, this is the one to go to if you want to hear a bunch of nonsense and Paul's reasoning for not building anymore. So here you go. I warned you. All right. Bye-bye.
Oh. Oh, so you got it figured out?
Yeah, we're in.
Oh my God.
I know. Finally, right? Oh. Some guy just...
Where do I put this?
Right in front of your mouth? It's a microphone.
Right in front of my mouth?
Yeah.
You got to put it off axis. If you don't.
You got to get all boomy, right? So I got to like point it.
Sure. Yeah, sure. That's fine. Dude. I just do this so I can see a little better, but I can't see Danny because of this pop filter. We should explain a little bit what's going on.
Does it filter pop? Does it like you can only hear...
You can only hear pops. Yeah.
You like, can only hear metal.
Lets the clicks...
It's like only smooth jazz, every genre but pop.
Oh yes.
Or is it a like a high pass where all you can hear is pop? K-pop.
Pop filter.
Okay, that's all you can hear is
all K-pop all the time. So I'm glad that you guys have pop filters.
Yes, you don't. So you're going to be just I mean, who's going
to
be? I mean,
so if Britney anybody Spears? Wants to question the quality of the audio on your podcast, you can tell them.
It's because Paul didn't have a pop filter. So I guess we should do a little bit of filling in because we just jumped into it. So we're just hanging out, nerding out and playing a bunch of pedals. Danny wanted to get Paul and I together.
It was all Danny's idea.
It was all Danny's idea. It really was, though.
The great bringer together.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, hey, we're just out here nerding around. Why don't we do a little podcasting while we're at it for Patreon? So Danny and I are obviously big fans of Paul's work.
Mm-hmm.
And we
at least somebody here is.
Yes, well, at least there's two people.
At least there's two of you.
Both of us are the biggest fans.
Yeah, I'm the odd man out here. I don't know.
Yeah, you're the only one who's not a fan of you.
Yeah, exactly. But you guys can like it all you want. It's cool. I'm not going to yuck your yum, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that. That means a lot. So, Danny, maybe it would be cool to explain how you know Paul. And other than his guitars, because you obviously know him better than I do, even. You guys are doing all kinds of stuff together.
It's kind of interesting because I actually didn't know you built guitars. So I was working at a church in Vancouver, and I was down there regularly. And I saw like a listing for a bunch of Walrus pedals. And I was like, this guy's got like four of them. And I was like, yeah, I want this one. And it was like a Messner, a Voyager, and then like, something else. I can't even remember what, like the Boost, the Plainsman or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So I go down there and we get to talking and I was like, how did you end up with all these Walrus pedals? And he's like, oh, I built them a guitar and, you know, whatever they, in exchange, they sent me these pedals. And I was like, that's cool. And I was like, I don't know anything about
it. And I just want to, not to interrupt and get things too off track, but I just want to say that, yes, I did sell, I think, all of my Walrus pedals. But I also sold pretty much all of my other pedals.
Yeah.
So it wasn't anything specific against or anything against or like with Walrus because they make great pedals. I liked them. I just sold all my pedals, basically like everything. I think I have like two or three left.
That's true. You had other stuff listed, but at the time, and this is really dumb, but my goal was to build an all Walrus pedal board.
That's not dumb. So, what's dumb about that?
So that was the reason why I asked you about those and not the other ones that you had. Anyway, regardless, so we get to talking and I'm like, oh, that's cool. He builds guitars and I don't know. I didn't know anything about it. So then I kind of didn't think much of it. And then we ended up doing a couple other interactions on Craigslist as far as like buying or trading things and things like that. And then I started researching your guitars and I was like, holy cow, these are actually pretty cool. So that was about 4 years ago, maybe at this point, almost.
Was it that long ago?
It was about 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah. When I was working.
3 years
there.
Sounds about right.
And then I helped you move one time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what really,
needed
I
help
think,
moving.
Yeah.
And you had a truck
and I had a truck.
You just volunteered and said, I'll be there.
Yeah.
I was like, oh geez.
And I think that's when
really helpful.
I think we went from like Craigslist acquaintances to like more
friends, you know,
friends,
and I mean, you know,
and and then after that, you know, I went through a bunch of gear and ended up getting one of your guitars and then went through a bunch more gear and ended up getting another one of your guitars and been pretty pleased with those so far. So that's how we met.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, obviously, the listeners of this podcast, especially at the Patreon level, probably are pretty familiar with Paul and I's relationship. It's came on the podcast and I kind of like you, like I knew about his guitars. I knew they were really cool. And then once it was confirmed that he was going to do the show, it was like, oh, I need to look into this a little bit more closely. And then I found the Oceana and was like, I'm going to buy one of those. And I think I may have said it on the podcast. I don't remember, but it feels like I'm going to get one of those pretty soon. And so
it sounds about right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think we recorded the podcast and then after the tape was no longer rolling, we probably spent another half hour on the phone just talking about guitars that I was working on, like that I had in progress at the time.
Something like that.
Yeah. Pretty soon after, I think one of those turned into the your Blue Imperial.
which, yeah, as that guitar's had a weird fate, and I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but I post it obviously pretty regularly, and sometimes I even set it up like to try to take an actual picture of it, even though I'm not a photographer. But every time I've done that, one of those weird Instagram gear pages that you, one of the ones that you just don't know what their deal is, like, why do they, what is this page? Like, huh. Guitar for you, you know, or something like that. Or you go, it's like mostly memes.
Well, it's Guitar for You, Blake.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's true. For me, or Greatest Guitar. Like, there's yeah. an, there's a couple of them. Well, sometimes it's that, but a lot of them are running around with that guitar as their profile pic.
Oh, I've never seen that as a profile.
Yeah,
pic.
I've seen, is I think really? It's, I think there was one, I think Guitars for You, I can't remember. I have to look it up, but it was, I'll go to my DMs, I can find it, because I messaged the account, was like, that's my picture and my guitar in your profile.
Yeah, like, you're like, hey.
They didn't respond, of course, but I'll have to go look and see who it was. I think that was the one, I don't know, I'll have to figure it out later. But
yeah,
but it's become a sort of, like, I have people that start, like, newly start following me, and they're like, oh, you own that guitar. Like, I've seen this all over the place. It's like went into this weird Instagram gear black hole where, like, a lot of people have seen it, but not necessarily from my account.
It's like a, it's like Instagram famous.
It is. It's a guitar that I had one, this one guy comment, and he's like, I've seen this guitar for years, and he's like, I had no idea what it was or where to get it. I've just seen it floating around. Like, oh. And I think part of it is like, part of it is the design of the Oceana, but I feel like it's that Lake Placid blue.
Yeah, so that's not actually Lake Placid blue. That's it's called Surf Blue Pearl.
Surf Blue Pearl. So I've been telling everybody the wrong color for 3 years.
No, that's fine. It's easy to, you know, it's easy to misinterpret. And I mean, I can't really take credit for that color, because it was Doug Cower who first, like, got a can of that paint and put it on a guitar. Because it's the Dodge Charger or Challenger Charger. You know that sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've seen those blue.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a newer model. But yeah, Doug got it, and he was just like, this is the coolest color. And I was just kind of like, yeah, it's blue, I don't know. You know, and didn't think too much of it. Mm-hmm. But then when I did my first NAMM show, I wanted to kind of like show off a few new things. One of them was the new Mastery Vibrato. I had one of the very first Mastery Vibrato prototypes.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, that year at NAMM, there was only 2 Mastery Vibratos at the whole show. I had one, and Dennis Fano at Novo.
Mm-hmm.
Or was he still doing Fano at the time?
I think he might have still been doing Fano then.
Yeah,
he
might have still been with Fano. Yeah. So it might have been a Fano. But yeah, it was the two of us had the 2 Mastery Vibrato prototypes, and those went to the show. It was also the debut of the Roadhouse pickups, Vistatone pickups.
Oh,
it was
gotcha.
Like so I had the first guitar that ever had those pickups. And so this guitar just had like kind of was kind of fancy. And it was cool. So I just wanted to paint it really neat. And so I picked that blue, and I did that blue all over the entire guitar. The whole thing mm-hmm. was painted that blue. And it just kind of became this color that was like just became synonymous with the Oceana and with my work. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think Doug ever painted another guitar that color, because it was kind of almost like, you know.
Right. Almost a trademark.
It kind of, yeah, it's just mm-hmm. like it kind of, you know what I mean? And like It was all him. I mean, he was the first guy to do it, but and there are a couple of Cowers out there that are painted that color. But yeah, it just kind of, it was one of those colors that just sort of like, for whatever reason, it was set off on my design. And so it just became one that I ended up doing a fair amount of.
That's interesting, because my memory of it is different. It's weird how like we were both part of this process, but like,
yeah.
And I've always just called it Lake Placid Blue, but also while saying like, it's not quite Lake Placid Blue though. Mm-hmm. That's just because if you remember, we were debating on what it should look like, and I was going back and forth on all these things, and I came across this Gretsch that was Lake Placid Blue, with gold hardware and everything. And at the time, there were no gold Masteries.
No, there wasn't.
There still wasn't basically for years later.
I had another customer at the time who I was building an Oceana Marquee in. That great like Gretsch green metallic color, mm-hmm. that classic British racing green, but the metallic version. And he was like, man, I would really love gold hardware with a Mastery bridge. And I was like, yeah, I know, me too. But he just, you know, Woody has said many times that he will never make golden Mastery hardware. He's never going to do it, which he has since then. But, but besides the point, I had those parts gold plated. That we had, I found a local company in Sacramento called Sherms, I think, and I just dropped off a big box of parts with them. And I think, because I think for you, it was like, hey, we should do blue and gold. And we were like, yeah. And I was just like, it won't cost you extra. I don't think that I, or maybe it was you that I charged extra and the other guy got it for free. Remember. I can't remember, but you know, I remember it was like,
I vaguely remember being like, I depends on how much extra, but I don't care. Within reason.
It wasn't much either. Yeah. It was like $200 or something like that.
I think
it was like total of $400 for all the plating for both guitars.
Yeah.
And so I might've just split that cost between the two or something. So I don't remember how it went, but yeah, it was like the first gold plated mastery.
Yeah.
Anything,
ever. Yeah,
because I sort of took care of it myself, you know. I just brought it to a place and had it real genuine. It's like real 24 karat gold or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And then I sometimes, like, when I'm changing strings on it, because it's like so beautiful, I'm always like cleaning it off, and I'm almost like, why am I bothering? Because in like 30 seconds of me touching this, it gets you know, I'm just like, I come to terms with it's just gonna always have my fingerprints on it if I'm gonna actually play the guitar, which I play it all the time.
The tip of your vibrato arm is like the gold is starting to rub off, and it's starting to go back down to the raw aluminum.
I kind of like that
character, you know.
Yeah, and I like that the pickups are kind of beat up now because of the weird angular way I play and all that, but
yeah,
it's interesting getting to see like that's the only guitar still that I've ever like fully spec'd out everything on.
Right.
And I'm like, it's kind of funny just seeing it evolve, because it's like evolving with me in a weird way. Because I'm a lot better player now than I was when I ordered it. I'm still not very good, but it's that guitar has changed the way I play and approach the instrument in a lot of ways. So it's special. And I mean, all these are special for one reason or another, but that one's extra special for me.
Yeah. For people listening that don't already know, and I can't imagine any of them don't know, but we're in the Shred Shed. this is my first time in the Shred Shed.
Yeah, which is kind of weird. Like,
I mean, yeah, as long as we've known each other, it's like, this is the first time. But for one thing, this is an impressive building. This is really cool. Like, I love the wood paneling on the walls. You've got the Edison bulbs, the what do you call that ceiling?
Oh, just, yeah, like a vaulted ceiling.
Ceiling. Anyway, it's just a really, really cool building, really cool place. But you have, what, 10 guitars, 15 guitars in here?
I think there's 13. I counted them the other day, but I had to do what we're doing right now and look around and physically.
I count 15 if we're counting.
15? We got 15? Yeah.
Those on the wall, the acoustic, and then the Explorer.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, drum set, piano. There's a handful of amps over there, more than a handful. And I won't even talk about the pedals.
Oh, it's fine. The pedals are fine. I can quit whenever I want. It's okay. It's okay. It's totally fine. No, thanks, man. I mean,
but it's cool. This is a neat spot.
What happens when you get overly obsessed with something is kind of all it comes down to. It's like, I got so obsessed with it that I needed to somehow make it into a job. So that I could just do whatever it is that I do all day.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily the most healthy thing or the best way to approach it, but it's a way that I've approached it, and I'm not happy about it. So, thank you. But yeah, you should have been by here a long time ago. That's ridiculous. Yeah,
probably. Well, thanks for having us, though. This is cool.
Oh yeah, it was a great time.
Glad we were able to. I'm glad Danny took the day off.
One Danny to rule them all.
That's right. We need Danny to unite. I mean, sometimes it just is that simple, though. It's just like, it's so easy to procrastinate when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever every time that you finally pull the trigger, it's like, man, I'm sure glad we did this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why do we do that to ourselves?
These things are few and far between. And I mean, I've just been really removed from the whole guitar industry for so long now. Like, it's like, I don't think I've sat in a room with guitars and talking about guitars in probably 2 years or something.
Has it been that long?
I mean, it's been a while, you know. I mean, I just don't, because when I left Veritas, it was like, you know, I kind of had my own thing going a little bit, that I was sort of a thing that I was starting up with someone, and then they just bailed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just didn't know what to do after that point. It was just kind of like I had all my eggs in one basket, so to speak. And then,
right.
And then the basket was just taken, it was just gone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, okay, well, I guess I'm just starting over at kind of nothing, you know? And I mean, I'm just living life and trying to have like a normal existence, normal, just sort of like be stable, you know? And that's all I've been doing, you know? So I haven't been to NAMM. I haven't gone to any guitar shows, you know? We stopped doing the podcast. It was just kind of getting to the point where it was like, you know, it was scheduling was always an issue doing a podcast.
Yes. I mean,
you know that, like mm-hmm. it's podcasting is, it's a labor of love kind of a thing. Cause you do it if you're really into it, you know what I mean? You do it cause you want to do it, but it doesn't make money and it's a huge inconvenience on your schedule.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, which, you
sometimes,
know,
but
you know,
you have to want to do it.
You have to want to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not that I didn't want to do it, but it's like, and I think ultimately the plan is that, Jason Rogers and I, we do still want to make more episodes of the podcast and we probably will. But they're just going to come when we find time. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, you're not going to force it.
Yeah. We're not going to force it. Oh God, I'm rambling.
No, good. We're podcasting. You're supposed to ramble.
Yeah, I know. We're getting the podcast uploaded to archive.org. But I'm having a really hard time getting it to put the episodes in the right order. It keeps throwing episode 100 after episode 11.
Oh.
And just it's not putting it in order and it's like driving me nuts. So I have a lot of work to do to get that fixed. I don't know how to do it. I'm gonna have to have the archive.org people help me out or something because I can't figure it out. But eventually we'll probably throw new episodes in there every once in a while. Because mm-hmm. I mean, I love doing the podcast. I love talking to people about this stuff. But it is like just different now because I'm so removed from the whole thing. I stopped following a lot of all the pedal companies and a lot of the guitar makers and stuff. I still follow a lot of my really, really, really like hardcore favorite stuff, but I had to kind of just like take a step away and not get too like, I didn't want my entire Instagram feed to be like guitars.
So it's the opposite of mine. So that's
which I think is unfortunate because I think obviously the guitars are beautiful and you know, they're unique and there's certainly that aspect of playing a well-crafted instrument, but at least for me, and I don't know about you, Blake, but like for me, whenever I talk about guitarists, I'm like, let me tell you about Paul. Cause Paul is just like, you're just a good dude, man. And like, honestly, like that to me was primarily, you know, the reason to even research your guitarist, cause you're just a good dude. So it's unfortunate that, you know, you've had to sort of step back for whatever reasons, but you know, ultimately, like, I think at the end of the day, you're still a good dude and you make killer instruments. So,
well, yeah, I mean, I thank you. Appreciate that. I mean, it was just always a struggle for me to make money at it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I didn't have the resources and the level of success needed to continue. So, you know, so I didn't.
Is it something that you can see yourself kind of migrating to, like, you know, kind of like, I kind of think about like the early days of the podcast for me and for mm-hmm. all this stuff was, it was like, it got to a point where it's like, I'm going to continue to do this anyway, because it's a thing at this point. But also there was like, it was definitely at a tipping point where it was like, okay, I need to decide if I need, am I going to keep driving this forward? And I'm really going to try to make it something that can at least self-sustain itself,
mm-hmm.
or I just need to walk away because it's taking up too much of my time.
Right.
And so ultimately my thought was, I'm going to get it to a level where I can either leave my job or I can, it can at least stop costing me money. And then if I can do that in, I had a time frame set for myself. If I can do that in X amount of time, we'll keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately was able to do that and been very fortunate to be able to do a lot of cool things because of it. But there's a lot of pedal makers that I know specifically, cause that's just my world.
Yeah.
That do both. They kind of, they build guitar pedals kind of when they want and when they can.
Yeah.
and they work another job to keep that stability like you're talking about. Is that mm-hmm. something that you've, because I know you've teased that you have a little shop, new shop thing going. And
yeah.
It's actually, even for a guy who pays as close attention as I do, it's hard to keep track of like where you're going to go and
yeah.
where do you think you're going to go?
Yeah. And I mean, I've never been too vocal about any of that kind of thing. And I probably, that's not going to change. You know, I'm just not like, and I've said this on probably every podcast I've ever been on, including my own half a dozen times, you know, and elsewhere. It's just that I'm not like, I don't engage on social media that much.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not something that, I don't know. Like I don't read the comments. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, and I just kind of like, I open the app and I look at photos and I double tap cool shit and then mm-hmm. I close the app. You know yeah. what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's it. And it's like, so yeah. So I don't post much of anything. I mean, I was blowing everybody's Instagram stories up today as we've been hanging out. Cause I still have like, what is like 18.6K followers or something like that. Like last time I checked. And I know a lot of those people are still there because it's like they were fans of my guitars and they want to, you know, they like guitars, you know,
mm-hmm.
let's see cool guitar stuff, you know? So I'm definitely like, so I'm like, when I have an opportunity like this, where it's like hang out in the shred shed and show off guitars and kind of, you know, this kind of stuff. Yeah. Like social media is great. You know, mm-hmm. I'll post some stuff, but other than that, yeah, I just don't, I don't post that much. So yeah, there's not a lot of, so it's like, you know. Yeah. What is the status of things? I guess is yeah. Like I do have a shed now. I have a workshop space. But it's not. I can't. I'm still. It's still not set up to make guitars
mm-hmm.
at all right now. I don't have it set up. I don't even have it set up for like you know fretwork or whatever. Like if I had a guitar that I
it's
needed
just
to do some
fretwork. The structure's there and that's
the structure's there. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, what's in there right now is my motorcycle and all of my motorcycle tools, and everything that I'm doing to try to finish that.
That makes sense.
You know, that's a big thing for me is, that project, that's just kind of my project right now, mm-hmm. you know, is just doing that. And that I'm doing it for myself. I'm doing it for, it's like, I spent so long, you know, I spent 7 years fully doing nothing but making guitars. That was my entire life. And I was really like so obsessed. So, you know, that was just the only thing like, and I was like a workaholic, and I lost, friends and relationships and other things because I was kind of just overly obsessed. Mm-hmm. I was just like too, all I did, all I talked about, all anything was like, you know, the orders I needed to fulfill. And, you know, if I had extra money, it was like, oh, I got to try this new paint whatever, you know what I mean? And then, and, you know, I was just so completely into it. And I, you know, I think it kind of, for me personally, got to a point where it wasn't healthy. I mean, I was, you know, I was basically homeless for a year living at the shop. I don't know if I've ever actually said that on a podcast before, like out loud, but mm-hmm. like this many years on, I feel pretty comfortable with just like, yeah, that's what happened.
That's
you
what
know?
We want. I mean, basically while my guitar was being built.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2016 mm-hmm. was the year. I mean, I think starting from about, it was like October or November of 2015 all the way through the very first week of January, 2017. Yeah, I lived at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
I literally lived in the storage space above the office in Doug's shop. I mean, and he was like, you know, way too generous and patient with me, letting me do that. You know, and, you know, it wasn't healthy. It wasn't a good way to live.
Like, right.
It no. sucked. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I was barely making ends meet. I was, you know, I had to like, you know, I had to like, basically, I didn't have a shower or a kitchen,
right.
You know,
like spit baths and
things like that.
Yeah.
And I was and like, you know, I, as much, you know, as much as it seemed like maybe there was some success happening there, cause guitars were getting made. I mean, I did make more guitars that year than any other year previously. The amount of money the actual total income of the business was way higher than any year previous to that. But after expenses, after all the money that went on to like credit cards, just to fulfill orders, just to keep up my end of like, you know, I did pay rent, you know, I paid a fixed, you know, rate of rent,
right,
to have access to the shop and to live there, which, you know, is kind of ridiculous, you know. But, you know, and just to keep my end of things up, you know. After all those expenses and everything, my total like take home for that whole year was way, way, way below like the poverty line. You know right. what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So it was just, it sucked, you know, it was just a really lousy way to live. And so, you know, when I moved up here, there was Veritas for a while, and then there was, you know, another job for a while. And now I've kind of finally landed on something that, is a really cool job that I'm really happy with. Is it actually kind of makes me feel good about what I'm doing for the community and things like that. Somewhere along the line, met my girlfriend Sam, and she's been just like ridiculously supportive. And, you know, she knew that like I needed an outlet, like I needed a shop, I needed a place to work on projects. Cause I just, it's like, go crazy a little bit without something mm-hmm. to do like that, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of a restless person. And so, she did some research and basically figured out how to roll the cost of this shed into her, like the cost of the house
mm-hmm.
that she already owned.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm paying the difference. I'm paying like for that loan basically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But there was no like major down payment that had to be made. Or I mean, it did, but it's like it went on the financial stuff that I don't really understand. But, you know, so it's like but it's really cool. It's an amazing space. And eventually the plan is to get it set up to do some guitar stuff. And how exactly that's going to look, I don't really have any idea. I think part of the tricky thing is like I was making guitars to such a ridiculous quality standard before
mm-hmm.
with, you know, CNC machines and, you know, the finishing and everything was like really, really top notch. And I don't want to take a step back. I would never want to make something that is less than what I already did.
Mm-hmm.
So fitting a CNC machine in that tiny little shop would be kind of difficult. So, so I don't actually know how it's going to look, how I'm going to do it. I think I'm just going to take it real slow and kind of one step at a time and just one guitar at a time and just kind of, you know, not quit my day job and just see how it goes.
Yeah, that's where I was, excuse me, kind of going with that line of questioning was I see a lot of people who are able to kind of scratch both itches, you know, and have that stability they need, but you know, their business then becomes more of their project than necessarily their source of income.
Yeah.
And I've always thought like, that just seems like it would be, I've always thought it seemed like a good fit for you, you know, to also do that. Cause I think mm-hmm. there's a certain level that now that, you know, you've seen a lot of the different sides of the industry, there's this perception of among some people that if you're not doing it full time, that it's, you're not really doing it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's nonsense. Like,
yeah, I'd agree.
Our mutual friend Kevin Equitz, it's like, you can't mm-hmm. tell me that guy's not legit.
No.
He's not doing it full-time, but
his guitars are fantastic.
They're amazing. Yeah. Like, just because you're not doing it full-time doesn't mean you're not doing it, you know? And yeah. I think the way that careers are evolving now in this kind of weird digital age is, like, people have this need to project something that isn't necessarily accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And I seen a meme yesterday that really, as most things for people our age, a meme explained it all, you know. And it was like, guy, I can't remember what it was. It was like, guy buys his first guitar, immediately changes his Instagram handle to whatever music.
Mm.
And I'm like, I'm starting to see that because like I've been seeing a few guys that are not guys necessarily exclusively, just people that are definitely fronting. There was a guy emailing every pedal builder under the sun here recently that when you went to his Instagram, like, it was very clear that it was all bots and, like, not, you know, it was none of it was real. But he was, like, projecting this thing, like, he was... And I'm like, I don't know why people feel the need to do that. Like, the people who end up being the most successful and happiest seem to be just people that just are real.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
Like, this is what's going on with me, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's, yeah, and again, you know, it's like that whole oversharing on social media thing and just never really being into it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I couldn't hang from that, like, marketing standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Every time I had to get on Instagram and I had to say, like, introducing the new, you know, whatever model and all of its features, blah, 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 only this much money. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just felt crappy. I felt, you know, like a shill and just like, that's not, you know what I mean? Like, I just wanted to make cool stuff. I just wanted to, like, you know, I wanted to be focused in on, like, the actual production of things and perfecting it and really making something, you know, high quality.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, having to deal with a marketing part of it, it just, like, kind of definitely ruined some of it for me.
It's something that I mean, that's obviously a big part of what I do now. And it's, if you don't like it, it's almost impossible to do.
Yeah.
It's because it's like, I kind of like it. I'm a very people person. Mm-hmm. And so, like, in I'm obviously very conscious of what I share on social media. Because I think because I was late to it, I was so late to it. I didn't get into it until my late 20s. I had no social media at all. I never even had a MySpace page.
What?
And so, like,
are you even qualified to do this podcast?
This podcast got me qualified. But no, honestly, like, I posted that Ampeg over there on, I remember the day really specifically for some reason, on March 19th of 2015, I think it was, or 2014, maybe. 2015, yeah. And I was like, wow, some random person liked this. This is weird, you know? And that was my first basically anything ever. And so I've always been, because I've always had it in my head, like, the internet is forever. And now I think back about all the hundreds of hours of nonsense that all the dumb things I've said, and I don't even remember them. It's just, I've always been, like, a little bit weird about the internet. So I guess I understand it, but
yeah.
Also I am a people person. So, like, going up to a group of people and be like, hey, is not out of my wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I've always kind of viewed as that as what's going on with social media. It's like, mm-hmm. a bunch of people are at a party. And you kind of kick in the door and you're like, I'm here now. And you and they'll either care or they won't, you know.
Yeah.
And it's that's how I've always kind of viewed it. But
yeah.
Anyway, that's a random aside. But
I think one thing that's interesting, and at least, I mean, obviously I'm not a guitar builder, but at least I've met some people who are in the business. And it seems like unless you have sort of this unlimited capital to continue to grow your business, at some point it seems like companies start making, I hesitate to say shortcuts, but, you know, whether you're outsourcing parts or, you know, having somebody else build necks or things like that. And I remember one conversation you and I had, Paul, where you talked about you definitely didn't want to do that. And I think that speaks to what you're saying about having a standard of quality about your instrument.
Yeah.
Because you're literally slapping your name on it. I mean, it says your name right on it. So I think that's, you know, good in a way that you care about your instrument so much, but I guess that's one hurdle for a small builder.
Yeah.
It can be. I think honestly, I think the biggest problem is for most small builders, and I bet you can sit, you know, comment on this, Paul, is that there's simply too many things to do. Like, I'm pretty good at attention and getting eyeballs. I can't build a guitar though.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to find a way to, if I wanted to work in this business, I had to figure out a way to integrate the skills that I had with people that didn't have them. And so, you know, that's where I work for a handful of different pedal companies now. And so it's just like I filled a kind of a need for them because they made great stuff. They weren't good at the other thing. And I feel like that's the biggest problem with a small builder getting into this business. If you're really great at making instruments, but no one's ever going to see them, that's a problem. If you're really good at getting attention, but you make horrible instruments, that's also a problem. And finding that magic combination, which is actually something that Doug's pretty good at.
Oh, yeah.
Doug Cower.
Yeah.
And is rare. I think it's rare, and it takes a very specific person to be able to pull that off. And it's hard. It's like really hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I mean, you know, Danny said something about unlimited capital, and, you know, that would definitely help anybody. But, you know, resources in general, you know, whether it's your shop space, is maybe you have like a, you know, a more affordable shop space than some people, or maybe you have, you know, a supply of wood that is, you know, more affordable to you than other people, or just, you know, anything like that, you know, any of those little things can help. And like, you know, the price that I paid Doug to have full reign of his shop while I was there was again, more than fair. You know, but that was the only thing I had that was like helping me.
That was your advantage.
That was the advantage I had, you know what I mean? Cause I wasn't getting discounts on anything, you know, other than that, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, you weren't at the volume to get them, right?
No. Yeah, I didn't. I mean, Roadhouse Pickups gave me the best price that I think he gave anybody on pickups.
He probably sold more of his pickups than anybody.
I think I did, you know? And you know, I don't know if like, you know, when I sort of retired, if that had anything to do with why he decided to retire. I don't think it did. He just wanted to spend more time with his family, but, you know, and then, Woody at Mastery Bridge was always like really, really cool with, you know, you know, I could place an order and, you know, well, I shouldn't say anything because he won't do it for anybody else. And he doesn't want other people being like, how come you wouldn't do that for me?
He was just nice.
He was just nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, it's not like I didn't have any advantages, but like, you know, I didn't grow up in a family that came from anything. You know what I mean? Like we were always very poor, and, yeah, that's where I started, you know, and when I quit my day job and started making guitars full time, that wasn't the plan. It just happened that way.
Interesting. Okay.
I quit my day job and I had a little bit of money saved up. And so I just decided to take like a month off, make some guitars during that time. And then, figured like I'd find some other work, but during that month off, I got orders. Basically, people were just like, hey, can you build me something? I'd be like, yeah, it's this much money. And then they would be like, okay, cool. So then it was like, well, I guess I'm off and running. And yeah, that was, you know, how that started. I guess that's the beginning of it all. But
interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that. I just kind of assumed that it was, oh, time to go. You know,
no, not at all. And I was a fool. I shouldn't have done it. I should have like kept my day job or got some other work, or I should have just said no to the people that wanted me to make them stuff because I wasn't ready to do it. I really wasn't in a good position to do it.
Gotcha.
The fact that I was able to do it for 7 years, was like kind of insanity. I mean, it was just like, it was a lot of signs to like, no,
like stop it.
Don't.
Stop. You know?
It was like too much, you know? I mean, it was like, you know, like I said, I mean, it cost me relationships and, other things that I, you know, wish that wasn't how it happened, the path that my life went down, you know? But it did. And you know, that's that. And now it's just like, I'm in.
Try to make the best of the situation.
Yeah. Now things are pretty great. I'm pretty stable in life, and you know, I'm definitely like, I'm in a much better place, you know, emotionally and, just like financially and, all that stuff. I mean, anybody that wants to come visit me in Vancouver, Washington, come hang out. Vancouver, Washington is sick. It's awesome. It's so cool. I live right near Victor 23 Brewery, and their food and beer is amazing. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I mean, it's like, I'm just in like this really awesome spot, you know, and I have, you know, I got this shed. Getting a motorcycle was kind of big for me just because it's just something that it's like my hobby now. You know what I mean? Like I have a hobby. Mm-hmm. I did for the whole time I was doing guitars, I didn't have any hobbies. You know what I mean?
Because like, your hobby turned into your job.
My hobby was my job, and my job was my hobby, and it was like it was everything. And even like playing music was almost like not enjoyable, and collecting pedals was like not enjoyable because it was still all just like part of the whole thing. It was all just like I was in the guitar industry and that was it. And I didn't know anything about anything else.
Right.
You know? And like now, you know, it's like I'm actually paying attention to the world around me, you know, like we're not going to get into politics, but like that's something that I'm think about now that I like never knew anything about before, you know. And but I have a hobby now. Like it's like I'm like, oh, cool. I'm going to like I'm expressing my creativity in this two-wheeled monstrosity, you know. And but more than that, though, like the other important thing about that is just that it's like it's transportation. It's a way to get around, because a lot of people who know me know that like I never had a driver's license, mm-hmm. just never got one for my whole life up until last year. I finally happy to announce I finally got my driver's license last year.
Yay.
And I haven't driven a car since because I hate driving cars. But I also got my motorcycle endorsement. And so that was really exciting for me.
You hate driving cars, but you like riding motorcycles.
Love it. Oh, it's so much fun.
Well, yes. I know that it's different, but like, yeah. I obviously riding a motorcycle is substantially more fun. But why do you hate driving cars?
I feel like at any second I'm just gonna hurt someone else. Like I'm gonna crash and somebody else is gonna get hurt.
And you don't feel that way on a bike?
No.
That's weird.
If I crash on a motorcycle, I feel like I'll probably get hurt, and I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I can't stand the idea of hurting somebody else. That's the line. That's where the difference is.
That makes a little bit of sense.
I don't, you know what I mean? Like I would never want to be in a car with a passenger or just on a road and not paying enough attention and, you know, getting in some kind of a wreck and somebody else gets hurt.
Is it an anxious thing? Or is it just like that's statistically very likely because it happens every day?
I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of like a pacifist or something. I just don't want to hurt other people. It's
yeah.
like, it's very like.
It just makes me feel bad because I'm like, I got to get where I'm going.
Well,
and, like, oh, there's another person. They're in my way. Get out of my way.
I'm not anti-car.
No,
for
you're
other
clearly
people
not.
Or anything yeah. like that. You know what I mean? I don't think like, well, I said we weren't going to get into politics. I'm not going to get really thoroughly. Not okay.
You can go surface level.
Surface level politics. Mm-hmm. I think a lot about transportation, and I think a lot about like just the way that people get around. And people talk a lot about electric cars, and they talk a lot about self-driving cars and things like that. And like none of these things, I think, are the answer.
Okay.
To the the
congestion
just
problem.
The congestion problem, yeah. the oil industry, all the climate change stuff. That again, surface level. Not going to get into it, but. Yeah. I don't think I think electric cars are great, but self-driving cars there's no point in those. They're dumb. But personal transportation, the idea of like, you know, how do you need to be able to get from one point to another point efficiently.
Yeah. Especially the way our system is designed.
Yeah. So I just think there needs to be more like public transit, carpooling, and things like that. And then also like, bigger, better lanes for things like motorcycles, small displacement, like scooters or mm-hmm. even e-bikes. I'm not really a fan of e-bikes generally, but like I get it from a transportation sense of like, you know, personal transportation get somewhere efficiently and stuff. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say about it. I'm not going to need to get too totally derailed. But for me personally, it was just about like, just being able to get myself around and having that independence of not relying on other people for a ride, not having to pay for a lift every time I needed to go somewhere. You know, I got a bicycle and that's been like the coolest thing in the entire world is a bicycle. Like, geez, duh. Like, you know, this is transportation that I get around ridiculously fast and I, you know, pay basically nothing for it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And you get exercise.
And you get exercise. Yeah. Like I bike to work every day. And like I wake up and I'm drinking coffee and I'm like, nah, I don't want to be awake. You know, I'm feeling miserable. And then I go and I bike to work and I get there and I'm like, woo, let's go. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it pumps me up, you know, it makes me feel good. And, you know, yeah, you get that exercise and my glutes look badass. And,
oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's really what it all came down to. Yeah. It actually had nothing to do with climate or anything else. It's just he wants an excuse to work his glutes on the regular. That's really
yeah, that's right. That's, yeah.
What if there was a self-driving motorcycle?
No, see, I don't know. I'm not into the self-driving thing. I think it's...
See, I'm very into it.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm very into it, which might seem weird as like a muscle car enthusiast, but mm-hmm. I think anything we can do that gets us time back is mm-hmm. a good thing. And I think we have bought an insane amount of time back with the technology advancements that we have. I mean, just think about communication, right?
Sure.
So like just the fact that I can just send a text message and then, okay, I handled that. Yeah. Whatever, I did the thing I needed to do. Whereas like back in the day, it was like, okay, well, get the town caller because he's got to run through town and tell everybody, but we got to find him first. And you know, like just simply the amount of hours humanity has bought back by being able to communicate more efficiently is pretty insane. Mm-hmm. And so there's only one resource we have on this earth that's really finite, and that is time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm super into anything that lets me get more stuff done more efficiently, and a self-driving car 100% would let me get a lot more done.
See, I think that I think that I might have a little bit of technological aversion. Mm-hmm. Like I love technology for a lot of things, and for what you're saying, yes, I agree with you. That's great. I just, for me, I like to limit my technology to my cell phone and my computer. Mm-hmm. I don't really want digital anything in the rest of my life. Like there's like smart fridges, like. Really? Do mm-hmm. we need smart fridges? Like,
I don't know. My smart oven's cool.
You know what I mean? Like,
again, I can start it while I'm picking up my Papa Murphy's from my self-driven car. And then I sent a text message to Paul while I was driving home because
I like analog. That's why it's like, I don't even like, like even digital pedals. I'm like, they don't, you know what I mean? Bring it back to guitars, right? Digital pedals.
Oh, fine.
Can't do digital pedals. Like I need analog things. I need things that are analog.
Like reverbs and things? See, I think I feel like that's a little bit of a, I don't know. Here, look at me defending digital. That's weird.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a weird train.
I know I'm not trying to get too into it. I mean, it's not like this is the kind of thing that I think about too often, but yeah, I like some analog to things. I mm-hmm. think the thing that scares me a little about self-driving cars is you just hear about people hacking things, and I would hate to be in my self-driving car and some hacker hacks it via satellite and then it drives off the road, you know, or into mm-hmm. somebody else. So that's why I don't want a self-driving motorcycle. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want anything digital on my motorcycle.
No.
If it's an electric motorcycle, it would probably have a digital controller, but I don't want it to be smartphone connected or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like,
standalone.
It should, you know, you are the driver. Turns out, here's the thing about driverless vehicles. Turns out driving is hard.
It is. It actually, there's a lot to it. We think it's easy because we just grew up doing it or around it or whatever.
Driverless cars keep mm-hmm. bumping into things and not quite seeing things. And it's like, it turns out there's a lot to it. Mm-hmm. You know, the technology may get there someday, but it's going to be a while.
I think we're going to get there. I also, in defense of the digital self-driving car, well, there's a lot of idiots driving cars that would be better if a computer was driving them. So
yeah, there is that.
You know, it's kind of a knife that cuts both ways. And while like I'm always the one like worried about, are we taking AI too far and all this stuff? Mm-hmm. I like think about that way too often. I don't also simultaneously don't think there's any way around it. I think mm-hmm. it's just what's going to happen.
Yeah,
and so
I agree.
We'll just try to roll with it, I guess. Back in the day, I was very like fight the system type of person. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, the system is bigger than the system.
Yeah.
Like there's no one that's going to fight the system. So mm-hmm. we might as well just try to enjoy our time.
Well, and you know, and I'm for progress as well. And if technological advances get us to the point where we can cure cancer and whatever,
right.
You know what I mean? Like that's obviously I'm for it. Mm-hmm. And I think connectivity is important. You know, I think that getting, you know, internet capabilities in countries that don't have it is going to be is important. And
I think that's going to change everything.
Yeah.
Like that's going to change. I mean, as big as it was for the Western world and the rest of society, there's still millions of people mm-hmm. that are going to come in. And then like, who knows what they're going to contribute once they are connected?
Yeah.
There might be some dude in an unconnected country with a great idea. that just changes everything.
I mean, there needs to just be kind of like that global, you know, global community sort of a thing, you know, breaking down those colonial borders, as they say.
Mm-hmm. I'm down with that because I love the internet. So. We've said 20, but we've been at it for 50 minutes, guys.
Oh.
And hardly any guitars were discussed, but that's okay. We're here to just talk
about... Well, let's talk about some guitars then. What do you want?
Oh, I was going to say we can wrap this thing up, but...
it's up to you.
Yeah, probably better. I got a couple things on the schedule for the evening, so...
Oh, all right. Fair enough. Plus, going out just to your Patreon?
Yeah, I actually might put it out. I'm going to put it out just for Patreon initially. I might... This is a pretty good one. I might put it out in the main feed. In a few months or something.
We didn't even talk about my diamond mining business.
Oh, we didn't. We said we were going to talk about your diamond mining business. Yeah. This is the real reason he's not building guitars, because he's got a diamond mining business.
Well, we'll just have to talk another time about that.
Yeah, we won't get into it.
But if you all want to buy some diamonds,
I like them.
And they're conflict-free because he's a pacifist.
That's right.
That's right.
Pacific Northwest grown, conflict-free diamonds. I love it. All right, Danny, thanks for putting this together. This was your brain, and this was a lot of fun. I'm glad we were able to do this. And yeah, thanks to everybody.
Thank you.
All right, let's wrap this thing up. Bye, guys.
There you have it, folks. Straight from the horse's mouth. You got all the details, plus thoughts on AI and self-driving cars, and a bunch of other nonsense, because I do talk about a lot of nonsense. So thanks for sticking with me for this long. I know this was not an entirely guitar-centric podcast. It was a little more personal, a little more candid, but hopefully you enjoyed it. And I'm guessing if you got to this point in the conversation, you probably didn't hate it too much. But who knows? Maybe you did. Hopefully not, though. As always, take care of yourselves. Everyone be safe out there. I know there's a lot of craziness going on with the COVID-19 and stuff. But, you know... wash your hands, and you'll largely be okay, I think. We're going to get through this. We'll get through it together, and I'm going to keep cranking out podcasts for you to enjoy in the event that you might have to stay home from work or whatever. So please keep tuning in. Keep telling your friends and your family, and everybody be safe. Just be safe. Be cool. We're going to get through this. All right, everybody. Talk to you next time. Should be in just a couple days, actually. All right, later. One last thing before we totally sign off here, I just want to remind you that if you do any shopping at Stringjoy, that's Stringjoy Guitar Strings made in Nashville, that will help me out as well. As I've said for years, I'm heavily involved in that company, and I really do think they're making the best products on the market. So if you would like to try custom strings, go to tonemob.com/stringjoy. And check them out today. I seriously, seriously, seriously love what the team down there is doing. I help them out with all kinds of things. And by you supporting them, you are also supporting me as well. And hey, you need some strings, so why not get some custom strings just for your guitar and playing style? Again, the link for that is tonemob.com/stringjoy, and that will take you right to their website. And you can do all your shopping through there, and that will help everyone involved out. So thank you very much. Talk to you next time. We are brought to you by the wonderful folks at Gun Street Wiring Shop. Yes, Gun Street Wiring Shop. I've talked about them before. I used to say based out of Bend, Oregon, but guess what? Sean moved to my neck of the woods. Sean's in Portland. Sean is awesome and has helped me with a bunch of stuff lately. And if you have wiring needs for your guitar, he can help you too. If you want to get weird with it, he can get weird. If you just need to spruce things up a little bit, there's your guy. He takes all the guesswork out of doing your guitar wiring, and he makes it simple, and his customer service is top-notch, and I can't say enough good things about Gun Street as a company. I really respect Sean and what he's all about, and the product is top-notch. I've got 3 different guitars that now have Gun Street harnesses in them, and I could not be happier. So go to GunStreetWiringShop.com and check them out.